welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. I want to thank you guys for tuning in with me tonight. We're going to get started and hopefully end pretty soon tonight. I know I say that every Monday and we end up going 2 hours, but as long as you guys are out there, I'll stay with you. So thank you again for choosing to spend your Monday with Butterfly Evolution. I want to remind you that the chat line is open. I'm trying something new tonight, so you may see me out there and you may see I have a friend joining me tonight, just going to sit in and kind of help me through the show as we prepare for an addition to the Butterfly Evolution down the line. So that is to come, and we'll bring more information about that later. So for those of you who normally listen in the chat line, don't be concerned if you realize that I'm not out there. I'm trying to connect now, but it may not allow both of us to connect at the same time. So that's perfectly okay, and please feel free if you receive feedback from someone else. Please know that that's okay. Want to remind you, those of you who are listening by the phone, oh, and remember for your chat listeners, you can just submit your questions or comments right there. And my co-hosts for tonight will inform me of those. You can also send private messages there as well. Or you can choose to just call in tonight using the call-in number 818-691-7406. Again, 818-691-7406. Remember, you do have to select the number 1 if you have a question or a comment. That will inform us here that you do want to talk. What I will do is provide you with the area code that you're calling from. That's the phone that you're using tonight to call in. I'll give you the area code and the last 4 digits of the number that you are calling from. Please be prepared to at least give us the state that you're calling from. Remember, you don't have, for those new listeners, you do not have to provide your name or anything that you want to, but we would like to know what state you're calling from. So be prepared to speak and give your opinion, your comment, or your question as quickly as possible, because we do have others that are sometime waiting to get in as well. Tonight's topic is, are you wasting your mind? And, of course, if you are a regular listener, you know that we've had many discussions, different topics, but many discussions on the mind, because you cannot transform, and that's what Butterfly Evolution is about. You cannot transform without renewing your mind, without taking control of the thoughts that you have, that you allow to settle in your mind. So I have my co-host on tonight. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi, thanks for having me on. My name is Brother Steve Johnson. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Okay, well, we're going to move on, and he'll jump in as he's led to. But let's look at a little bit more in tonight's topic. And before I go there, I want to, of course, remind you guys I can't move forward without giving the Butterfly Evolution baby, and that's the trash can reminder. If you have not, I continue to challenge everyone to do this. Continue to move your trash can from one location to another, and it seems so insignificant, but as you move it and you return, we all have trash throughout the day that we need to get rid of. So you'll be mindful, you should be mindful as you return to its old location, because that's probably what is going to happen. You're going to go to its old location knowing that you've moved it. In doing that, be mindful and keep in mind, and the trash can concept is so relevant to tonight's topic, because as you go back to its old location, you should then think about what your mind just did. Your mind just sent you somewhere because out of habit, because it has kept that thought of where your trash can was. Although you know you've moved it, you will go back to its old location. So monitor those times that you return. If you have children, I think it's one of the best games and simplest games to play as a family, because you're able to keep record, put a chart on the refrigerator, keep record, or do it with yourself. You don't have to have anybody play this with you. And as the time increase or decreases that you return to its old location, just remind yourself that you are growing, that you are controlling the thought process, because we know habits are those small things that we do, sometimes large things as well, but it's those things that we do without thought, that we're so caught up in the habit of it, so much so that we don't have to think about it. Same thing with life. Some of us are so used to feeling defeated, worthless. We're so used to those negative things, and for whatever reason, we are more drawn to darkness. The word tells us that. It's like we are drawn to those things that beat us down, that beat us up, and the word tells us just the opposite. The word also tells us that we have to renew our mind. So if the word tells us we have to do that, that means that there's something already wrong with our mind, the way that we think, the way that we allow our thoughts to take control over life. So this show is basically about getting you guys to think about what you're doing, your life, the thoughts that come into us sometimes, and you've heard on this show as well, sometimes those thoughts come so quickly and from places that you could be happy one minute and it seems like the next, the whole world has crumbled down around you. So if you don't take the time to think about, does this thought bring me good? Does it make me feel good? Is it about those things that are true, good, pure? Does it do that for me? Is it that? And if it's not, that's when we need to start saying, this does not line up with the Word of God. It has to be something here that's not for me, not for my life. And you have to make a conscious decision to say, okay, how do I deal with it and eliminate it? Do I deal with it? So
amen,
this is
amen.
What that show is to get you to think about. If you have something, Steve, jump in anytime. I welcome the comments.
Amen. Well, it brings to mind me the scripture, Colossians, I believe, chapter 3, where it begins to deal with what the Bible teaches about, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that it's a lot of the things that the world we see and we expose ourselves to that clouds our mind up. So to really have a good thoughts and have positive thinking on a constant basis, then we have to, like you said, I think earlier, we have to constantly renew our mind, but we also have to let this mind that the Bible in the book of Colossians speaks about being us, that's also in Christ Jesus. From the TV shows, the music, our exposure to certain things, the places we go, the people we allow within our presence, it all influences our day-to-day thought. And sometimes we have to just stop for just a minute and ask ourselves, what are we thinking? Really? What are we thinking? Some of the things we come up with. And the Word of God is just a blessing to be able to have that Word and to refresh your mind from all the day-to-day hustle back and forth and all the things that consist of our daily activities. But what are we thinking? If people just can take a second, what are you thinking? What's your plan? Where are you headed? Who are you serving? Who are you with? Who you honor, who you glorify, what you worship, how you living. Those things are, you have to think, and based upon how we think, all those answers, those statements will come from how we think. It comes
that
from
reminds,
how we think.
That reminds me, Stephen, I shared this with you earlier today. Yesterday, it's simple, but it's again because my mind is in this thinking process. I'm constantly evaluating because I know that's what I have to do. In order to die of self daily, I have to consistently keep my mind on the knowledge of God, on the Word of God. And if I didn't say this, you guys, but get pen and paper out because I'm going to give out a lot of scripture. We can just call this Bible study tonight because I'm going to give a lot of scripture out tonight. And I really want you guys to use these scriptures and use these tactics to get you through the day. Use these verses to get you through and take control of those thoughts that come in and mean you no good. But so get that pen and paper out and write these down, and we really want you guys to get in and share your comments and your questions. But yesterday, I want to share this story with you. Yesterday, I was talking with a friend, and when I called, apparently the radio was on and the music was playing, and he was also singing. So I didn't realize that I guess I took part in that. Somehow my mind, my brain, my thoughts, whatever, because about 5 minutes later, I started singing that song, and my radio was off. My radio in my truck was not on at all. And so he asked, were you listening to the same radio station I was listening to? And I said, no, my radio was not on. He said, oh, I was just asking because you were singing the same song that I was singing. And of course, the butterfly evolution mind started to work because I'm thinking, wow, I've just picked up what you were doing. And it made me think about TV, the things we watch on TV, the things we listen to on the radio that we think have nothing, we think that we don't take part of. We don't contain them, retain them in our minds and in our lives. And we do. The world, we said here, the world, if we allow it, will teach us how to think. It will train us how to think. I'd like to say it has did a great job. We've allowed it to do this. We've allowed the world to teach us how to think, to tell us what to think, tell us when to get up, when to go to bed. Again, TV used to go off at an early hour. Now we sit right up with it. I know I've been guilty of that plenty of times. And what is it really doing for me? What am I getting from it? What am I learning from it? And those things do control your thoughts. They can, just like I started singing that song without thinking about it. It was just
right,
in my head.
Right.
You made me think about that as you shared your story, but you made me think about that. So, Steve, are you able to see the chat line?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do we have people out there as well?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes,
I just want to remind you guys, if you do have a question or comment, Steve's going to be taking care of that tonight, so just go ahead and type those questions or comments in, any feedback that you want to give him, and he will share it on tonight's show for tonight. Anything,
okay,
Steve, before
okay.
I move on?
Yeah, and I was saying about in Colossians chapter 3, starting at the first verse, we noticed that this is Paul writing a letter, and he is saying here, if then you were raised with Christ, it speaks of a position. So if you've been raised with Christ, he goes on and says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's a lot going on here. What Paul is saying. So we set your mind on the things that are above. So that's something we have to actively do. We have to purposely turn the TV off, things that are not edifying to the spirit. We have to purposely listen to music that will edify the spirit. We have to purposely set our minds on the things that are above, that we can easily get caught up into the things of this world. And then what which way would that lead us? Would that be feeding our spirit, man, or would that be feeding our flesh? Based upon, and we have the ability, he says, think on the things that are above. Set your mind. It says set your mind. So I believe, Cameron, we have to get up actively every day with our purpose so set on the things of God. Not saying we won't encounter secular people with a secular conversation in a secular world, because that's very true. But what do we do when folks are so easy to talk about the world and talk about somebody and bite back and gossip, and we sit as Christians and say nothing? Why won't we talk about our God? Why won't we lift up the things of God? Why won't we lift up the things that God has placed in our spirit, in our heart, and be just as passionate about what Jesus is doing, just like that, just as passionate about the things of the world? But see, it only comes when you set your mind on things up above. Because some people, they mindset on earth, on the things on the earth. They said I'm trying to get a bigger house with a bigger budget, with a bigger car in a bigger neighborhood. And that might be all their mind is on. You ever been around somebody and all their conversation is about a purse, about a dress, about a sale, about spending some money, trying to get some money, make some money. But nobody is really talking about Jesus. It's the mindset. It is the mindset. I just really want to share that. I get passionate about that piece there.
You really do. But so right. And verse 10 there says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so get that, the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So in order to get up, and we should be getting up, putting on that new man every day, those new thoughts. And be renewed in the knowledge. But again, as Steve was saying, how often when we start our day, do we start out with the knowledge, seeking the knowledge in the Word of God? And some people will say this is so insignificant, we don't need to talk about this, but let me say this to you, and I want to read another verse to you. And as I read it, think about the world today. Think about the people. Think about the things that you hear on the news, the things that are taking place, the things that people are doing. Back in the day, if some of these things that are happening, if we had heard it, if we had heard an indication of somebody thinking this, we would have been like, what? Serious? They did what? And now,
right.
The norm. It's like we're not even moved anymore by these things that happen. So if you think... Look at how many churches, I've said this plenty of times, we have one on every corner. For the most part, they're packed every Sunday. Everybody is going, leaving, going again. But if we were going and really being transformed, if we were going and being putting on the new man, if we were going and being renewed in the knowledge after him, that created him. So after our creator, if we were going and all this was taking place, then listen to this verse and think about what is going on in the world today. This is Romans 1:28-32. Further, and I'm starting at 28. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge, there it is again, the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife. Now listen to this. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. Listen to that. They invent ways of doing evil.
They disobey their
parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree, that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. That's
powerful.
Just really end the show right there. Because he's telling you what all this brings forth. Steve, I know you have something to say on that one.
No, well, I mean, I'm just, it's some powerful stuff. And if you think, just look at the world again in which we live, the malice, the anger, inventing sin, inventing ways to do wrong, inventing ways, hear this, to do wrong. You got websites that offer married couple how to sleep around with other married couple. They call them swingers, inventing ways to do wrong, inventing ways not just to fornicate and live a filthy lifestyle, but to take it to the next level. Inventing ways to do wrong. So we as a people, how do we transform our mind? How do we get rid of, my mom used to say a long time ago, that stinking thinking. How can we change the way we think? And the Bible is clear. The Bible is clear. Even as you were saying, Malice, Tammy, even in Colossians, when you read 10, but up from 10, 8, it says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, they got that word again, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, even the language in which we use, how we communicate. Now, why are these things so significant? Because the Bible is saying that people, that when we operate in those spirits, we cannot expect to inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot not expect God to edify. We cannot expect God to bless, and we're living in such turmoil. But what the word of God is really telling us, people of God, God loves us, but God separates himself from that sin. So now we have to change how we think. Even now, verse 5 in Colossians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, it says this, therefore, hear this, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the son of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived by them. So, hey, we all been there. We all guilty. We all done some stuff. We all lived a worldly life. We all done broke some of God's rule before Christ, and some even after Christ. But what about today? What about this Monday, right now, in your life? Are you willing to change the way you think about your God, your walk, your life, your heavenly inheritance? Are you willing to make a change if the tool is placed in your hand? Because God loves us, but he cannot love the sin we commit. And the word is telling us that if we continue in these things, it won't be well with us with God. That's what I wanted to share there. Powerful stuff, though. The way we think. It's just the way we think. I believe we love God, but it's the way we think. It's the way we think that what consumes, ask yourself this, people of God, what consumes your thought most of the day? What consumes your thought? Every day, everything that pops up in your life on a day-to-day basis, what is consuming your thought? Where is your mind at when it comes to the things of God? And I believe God is really giving us a word. God is really giving us a word to say, change the way you think. We can't think we're going to be thinking about God and we listen to R&B bumping and grinding all day long on the radio. We can't be saying we're thinking about God. We're watching all kind of garbage on the TV, nothing about Jesus, nothing about salvation, nothing about being free. We have to change the way we think, people of God. Again, God loves us, but he has to separate from the sin in which we live. It don't make you bad people. We just want to be better people. Give us a call at the station. Share with us some of your thoughts. But we just want to be better people.
And it says here, God gave them over to a depraved mind.
God gave them over.
I just wanted to talk about, elaborate more on what you were saying, that God will turn us over to ourselves. It's not that he doesn't love us. But it's kind of like tough love, being a parent. Sometimes you just have to let your child go and suffer the consequences, because I've taught you the right way. God has given us all that we need. We have everything.
Yes.
It says that there is something in this Bible for everything that you go through.
Yes.
There's
a
way of escape right here. So if we know that it is, then why? Why are we not experiencing the joy or the power? It says that we are denying the power of God, having a form of godliness,
yes,
but denying the power thereof. Look around you. It goes back to look around you. I mean, I can see it. I'm going to say this because as I sit here and look at the phone numbers that are on here, and I see that, I'm just going to be real and put it out here. I see that there's one person that I knew was going to hang up when all these scriptures were going to started to be read. And I'm putting it out there because I want this person, when they listen to the archive show, to hear that. Because I've had this conversation where I was told that I give out too many scriptures. I talk about the Lord too much on the show. And I'm like, well, you just don't need to listen to the show. If that's your perception, then this is not the show for you. So,
amen, amen.
Here we are again. I mean, that's just how I felt about it. Not the show for you. If you feel like too many scriptures or too much about God, this ain't the show for you. And true enough, that person is gone. He was on here when we started out, but that person is gone.
Amen,
so,
amen. And
you know,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say just even just when the scripture said God gave them over, it's almost like you ain't got to worry about somebody turning you in or somebody turning state or somebody writing a statement or bearing false witness against you. The Bible says God gave them over to their own lust, their own desire. And people of God, anytime there's a platform that God has an audience where God is being glorified, it's only because the word of God is to help us mature, cleanse our mind, grow us up, wake us up, so we can come up to a sober thought and make sober decisions. Because there's no way we can continue to live a reckless lifestyle contrary and contradicting to the word of God when God has given us every opportunity, a way of escape. What are you thinking about tonight? What have you thought about all day today? What consumed your thought? What's on your mind right now? Give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking.
And see if you'll check the chat line and see if you got anything out there. I want to read the show description. And this is the show description that I post. And, again, some of you are not able to see this because not everyone has Facebook, or you just may miss it. So I want to read the description as Steve checks the chat line. The show description reads as this: progress begins and ends in the mind. It is said the mind is a terrible thing to waste. I would like to say that the mind is such a great thing, don't waste it. Your future achievements will be highly affected if you allow your mind to be dominated by trivial matters. We must learn to discipline our thoughts to think about important things. Instead, we often spend an enormous amount of time talking about things that simply have no significance or add any value to life. In fact, I feel many of these conversations hinder one's personal growth, future, and achievements. Small minds think about things. Great minds think about ideas and solutions. Just as you are what you eat, you are your thoughts and what you think. Where are your thoughts leading you? Is it where you want to go? And I want to just focus on a few things out of that description, starting with trivia. Some words that mean the same as trivia, of course, is unimportant, insignificant, and petty. And think about, even today, what things have you talked about that really, really add no value or significance to your life? Sometimes things that we can't even control, that we can't reinvent, recreate in order to create a different solution or outcome. These things keep us in bondage. We know that Satan comes to kill, destroy, all that, tear us down. So some of these things are put on us. We are battling spiritual warfare. So some of the things, it's like putting gasoline on a fire. But if we just say, I'm not taking part in that, that's going to pass right through. That's just going to, it's coming in, but I'm going to send it out. But sometimes we just don't get caught up in even things that has happened to us. as much as I hate to say, even they become trivia. But once it happens to you, you have a decision. Think about this. Think about there are people right here on this line or in your life that we've gone through some of the same situations. We may have some similar backgrounds. Why is it that some people can go through the very same thing that you went through, and they come through it like a jewel? They come through it like, oh, it happened to me. Okay, what can I do about it? They use it as a stepping stool or stone to progress. They look at it as strength.
Right.
Through this, that means I'm strong. That means I can endure. Where some people, it will do just the opposite. It makes them feel insignificant. It's because that mindset, what you allow it to do to your mind, how you allow it to settle, and what it creates once it settles. And if it comes up against the word of God and the knowledge, we have to just throw it out. And because that's what the word tells us. Put it up against the knowledge of God. If it doesn't, it's the word of God. If it doesn't line up, it doesn't apply to you. Unless you allow it.
Amen.
To.
That's
this
right.
reminds
That's right.
me also of Frederick Douglass. You guys know that been here with me for a long time. I love the statement that he says, basically, I was a slave, but they will never or never enslaved my mind. So if someone can come through, another prime example of it's about what you see it as, how you see it as. He says they can take my body, they can enslave my body, but my mind, that's mine. That belongs to me. I have control over where I go in my mind, where I allow my mind to take me. So that's why I say don't waste it. Are you wasting your mind? Because that's the thing that gets you there. God says, be renewed. You have to do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Be renewed by transforming your mind.
Transformed. Isn't that something that we're just by transforming your mind? The way we think, we can transform our mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. No, it's almost in the thought where we think we get to hook up with the cable. Cause somebody come turn your cable on and they charge you $20 or $30. See, that ain't hookup. It's the way we think that, oh yo, I'm getting a hookup. Well, technically you beat the federal government. That's a federal law you breaking. But we'll think it's the hookup, and the way we think, people of God. Let me just put a thought in your mind like this. Think about the last 5 years of your life, men, women, whether you saved, unsaved, doesn't matter. If you're human, you can hear my voice. Just think about the last 5 years of your life and your thought process. Can you afford to think the next 5 years, operate the next 5 years just like you did the last 5 years? If you can, you good. If you can't, this word is designated and designed to help transform your mind. Where we read in Colossians chapter 3, be ye transformed. Colossians chapter 3, set your mind on the things of above. In Romans, it teaches about be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's on your mind tonight? What's in your heart tonight? What's controlling your actions? How are you thinking? Because at the end of today, all we want to do is make it into heaven first, do God's will on earth, and be a blessing to a dying world and tell them about a living Savior. What's on your mind tonight? What's in your heart tonight? Have you spoke to somebody wrong and it's still in your mind? Have you dealt with somebody unjustly and it's still in your mind and you know that's a wrong you need to make right? Tonight we have to change the way we think. If we're Christian, if we claim the name, if we believe in the word, if we trust God like we say we do, why do we think the way we do? Then how can we think in a way that it's pleasing to God and it's a blessing to others? What's in your mind tonight? What's in your spirit tonight?
So the lines
What's
are
in
open.
Your heart tonight?
And the lines are open, you guys. Select the number one. Again, if you do want to get in, please share your thoughts and comments. And if you decide not to, but I'm hoping that you will, but you're out there, I see you. If you do, if you don't, then really after tonight, think about, start tomorrow, start tonight, because tomorrow's not promised. Take captive those thoughts that don't align with the word of God or with your purpose, your passion, your goals, those thoughts that make you feel worthless, defeated, you know, the end. When God says we are the head, make you put your mind on your enemies. When he says that I'll make your enemies, I'll sit them down and make them your footstool. So that word, again, gives us everything, everything. We have to learn how to distinguish between those disturbed states of mind and that peaceful state. And the only thing that can give us that peaceful state of mind, for me, I'm going to tell you, for me, it has been the word of God. That has transformed. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have just glorious days every day, that my days are without hurt, pain. No, absolutely not. But do I look at those things differently? Absolutely. I look at them as I have a way out now. I don't have to stay here. Whatever this is has brought into my life negatively, whatever pain this has brought into my life, I am learning to evaluate and deal with. Does that mean I deal with it instantly? Absolutely not. I wish I could. Some things I wish I could instantly change. But what I'm learning is I am progressing. I am not staying. I won't be here tomorrow. I won't be the same person tomorrow. I had such significant occurrence today, and I know people must think this girl is losing her mind, but I had to share it, and I very rarely share personal things like that on Facebook, but it had to do with a plant because it left such a mark on me because I personally saw God all in it. I got two plants, I believe it was for my birthday. I got two plants, Mother's Day on my birthday, one of them. But I'm not good, and this person, I guess, doesn't know that I just don't do plants very well. So I received the plants, but I've not did very well in taking care of them. They're just not my thing. I just don't do it. But last night I walked out, and those plants looked so horrible. They looked just dead, and I thought, wow, I felt plumb embarrassed by it, really. I just thought, here it is, someone's giving me these pretty, pretty live plants, and I can't even water them. But I decided last night that I was going to water them, and didn't think much else about it. I came on in, locked up, and that was that. Well, today when I walked out, I instantly noticed one of the plants just grew so much overnight, and it looked so alive. It looked like it just was a new plant. It's as if she bought a whole new one over that had already grown or something, and I know that didn't happen. But I instantly thought about transformation in the Word of God. This is what the Word of God will do. This is what renewing your mind and starting to think about things. Now, again, it's not always a comfortable feeling. It's not always in fact, I think it's a very lonely journey if you're thinking about the people coming along with you, because very few people are going to want to hear this. Remember, it says in the word too that people are after their own flesh. They seek their flesh. They live according to the flesh, and their minds are set on the flesh. So when you are no longer set on your flesh, if you're no longer set on feeding your flesh constantly, people, and when they see that you're going a different route, they start to see your change, people are going to go. They're going to go away. But I tell you, the more you grow, the more at peace you have. You start to decipher between the disturbed states of mind and the peaceful state of mind. Look around you. Yeah, money is not going to do. Look at the stars, the entertainers, if that's what we want to call them, stars. Look at them. They have all the money in the world. They can go and do whatever they want. They commit suicide. They get married 5, 6, 7 times. They have 10 baby daddies and 10 baby mamas. So if money could create that peace, that joy, if money could bring balance, they would have it. We are all
seeking.
We are really all seeking for something. And if we don't get it now and don't understand that that internal hunger, that thing that we are seeking, is not the it's not in the world, it's not of the world, it's not any of that stuff. That we, it's not the new house, the new car, it's not any the big house, the fancy car, it's not the Michael Kors purse or whatever else goes with it. It's not the pretty dress that you have on. Because I can go to the thrift shop and feel just as good paying $4 for it than someone that went to Macy's and spent $400 for it. But see, some people get caught up in even where they go to buy something. It could be the same name brand. But just because I got my thrift shop and they got theirs from Macy's or the actual big store, that makes them feel of value. So what are you thinking?
Right.
What makes you feel valued? And does it last? Do you like where you are? As Steve asked earlier, what you've been thinking about, if you look at where you are in life now, is that where you want to be? Are you happy? Are you at peace? Have you been able to distinguish between that disturbed state of mind and that peaceful state of mind? What are you thinking about constantly? What are the things that run through your mind? So the lines are open. We do have a caller, Steve. I'm going to go ahead and take the caller. If you'll check the chat line while I do that, please.
Amen.
We have a caller on from 901 with the last four of 3521. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air with us. How are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong one. Tammy, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about Proverbs 16:3, and I think that's what it is. But it says, in the renewal of your mind, and I just, usually you don't put these two together, but it says you commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. And I just thought that was interesting that most of the time we were saying, Lord, help me to renew my mind, but it says commit your works to the Lord. And I kind of thought about it. I think maybe some of the frustrations that we all have from time to time is walking through what they call the dailities of my life. And because they're bits and pieces, and I think what we do is we can't see these dailies of our life working into God's big plan. We see it as, gosh, I've got to take the kids here. I've got to clean my house. I've got to do my job. But that doesn't necessarily work into God's plan. These are all disjointed fragments of my life. But I think what happens if you can see it as I'm God's child, I'm a part of his plan, I am an open vessel, and I will commit my works, however small those works are, I commit those to him and to what he wants to do with my life, and then my thoughts will be established. Thinking will change. I mean, all the little things that we do each day that are so-called disjointed fragments of our lives can be a part of God's plan if we could see it as a part of his big plan and not that we're just here doing these little fragmented things that has nothing
to do
with it.
That reminds me.
All a part of his plan.
That makes me think of the talents, the story of the talents in the Bible, we saw that at church Sunday, but that really makes me think about, I think, too, we are comparing ourselves to the world and what the world has gained or what the person next door seems to be gaining, rather than taking your works, the talent that God has given you. You know, and
right.
Changing your thoughts will help you see that as well. It will help you walk you into your divine purpose. You start
Absolutely.
To create even the sun and the moon. I remember the first time I looked at the sun and thought about God. And I mean, I was an adult, and it was the most precious thing. And then the moon came. You start to see how the moon just sits in the sky.
Into his plan, absolutely.
Right, the things of life, when those things become so precious to you, you know that for me, I knew that I was on the right track. Again, it has been a journey, but I feel like finally I'm on the right road. Finally, I'm traveling the right direction. And I could not have did it without the bumps and bruises, without going through the ups
Absolutely.
And downs, and really trying to stay in my word and on my knees. And when I'm not there, boy, can I tell it. It's as if
Absolutely.
With that same plant, I wasn't, that plant didn't get its water, didn't get what it needed. And I wasn't, when I'm not getting what I need, my life shows. What I
true.
Do, how I speak, how I act, it reflects.
So true. If we could see that, in other words, in every single scrap of our individual lives, every step, every struggle, as you mentioned, is a process of being fitted together into God's plan. It's a part of when we commit our works to Him, which in turn changes our thoughts. Our thoughts will be established according to the commitment of those works. Then it all binds together into a perfect pattern for good. And that's a part of His plan. We fit into that plan. It's not disjointed fragments. When you surrender to God's plan, it all becomes a part of what He's doing. And that makes us important people. It gives a status. This is the highest status. That is the ultimate status. The most important thing we can do is to glorify God. And so, therefore, all these little things that in the choices that we make in those things has a lot to do with, are you fitting into a part of that plan? And it boils
right.
down to you, either you are or you're not. Thank you, Tammy.
Right. Thank you. Steve, anything on that?
Well, I will also just to add into that, I'm not sure she was saying do the work first and then commit your work first and then God would establish it in your mind and your heart. But I do know that your mind, you have to have your mindset right in order to serve God. Your mind has to be first delivered and sanctified and understand God's will and God's perfect plan for your life. And as you were saying, those disenfranchised fragments, and those moments in our life or those places that we go, let's just say from the mechanic to the store to the mailman to the gardener, our lives, we're the salt of the earth. And the Bible teaches about being the light and that we let our light so shine that everywhere we go, if it's to take the kids to a soccer game, if it's to go to a basketball game, the Kroger, to the store, everywhere we go, there needs to be a light shining in our lives that there's a peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that no matter where I'm at, what I'm doing, that the peace and the love of God is ruling richly in my heart. And I think also in Matthew 6:33, I believe it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness. Well, what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? The kingdom is God's order, God's way, God's principle, God's precept. Are we seeking those things? And I think a lot of what we do, it comes from our thought. Because we got to first know who God is in order to serve God. Really serve God in knowing God, knowing who God is. And I think a lot of times, just as Christians, sometimes people get it confused, and in that confusion, sometimes we find ourselves being more religious than in relationship with God. We find ourselves more committed to impressing the pastor instead of impressing God. We find ourselves doing an array of religious things that does not constitute a relationship with God. And again, I just believe that if we can get our mind steadfast on Him, set on the things of God, then our work will speak for itself. Because everything we do, we know we're bringing glory to God. Our lifestyle, how we act, how we talk, what we wear, our demeanor, our aura, our persona, our personality, our character, everything will glorify the love of Christ reigning richly within our hearts. I believe that's an important part there.
And I think what I hear you saying, Steve, is if you're basing it upon, and you were breaking up just a little bit, but we could hear you, so you may just want to move your earpiece there, but when you speak about, so many people get caught up. Now, I know the last caller, this is not what she meant because I just know her, but so many people do get caught up with the works that they're doing in the church or here and there, and they forget about growing
right.
in the Word, being obedient to the Word. Because I feel personally for me, the best way to glorify God is to be obedient to His Word, to, like you said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And where you go, people will know who you are. You don't have to tell them what you do, your occupation, what you do at the church. They just see that light in you. It reminds me of a little girl being able to, I remember really being able to tell teachers and Christians just meshed to me. I remember thinking, either this person is a Christian or a teacher. And I was a little girl. I mean, that literally happened to me in the doctor's office while I was with my grandmother. This lady walked in, and I just remember looking at her thinking she's either a Christian or a teacher. She's either in the church or a teacher.
Right.
And people used to, because teachers used to be just to me, that humble. They seemed to me as a little girl, they were just godly people seeming to me at that time. And that's how we should be today, you know, but we're
right.
so caught up
right.
in the world, and we make, and I'm talking to myself too, sometimes we just make God so last on our list when that is the fuel. If you forget to put gasoline in your car, it's eventually going to stop. And I'm learning for me that the Word is truly my gasoline for my life. It is truly, if I'm a plant, it is truly my water. Or I look just like that plant did when I walked out last night. I cannot do it. I don't want to go back to where I was mentally. I don't want
right.
to go back to where I was years ago. Even
right.
even last
right.
year. I don't. I cannot.
Amen.
I see living life trapped in that mindset. I just cannot. It is so worth the process of renewing your mind or figuring out, are you wasting your mind?
Right.
Because it is too great. God says renew the mind. Renew it. So it is too great. That's something
right.
that.
Right.
And also it says, you know, love the Lord God with all your soul, heart, and mind. So if you're not loving God with your mind and being double-minded, what did he say about double-minded people? So we have to choose.
Unstable in all their ways.
Right. We have to make a choice. This world or God's word, God's life. Living that life.
You
we
know,
have to make a choice. Go ahead.
And I remember, Tammy, just before I knew God, the lifestyle that I was living. I wasn't raised in the church, wasn't no church boy, didn't believe in no church, wasn't really about no church. I hustled, I gangbang, I did a lot of things in life that I thought was okay, I thought was cool, I thought that, you know, that's what we do, that just as a man, just and in that lifestyle, that the way I was thinking was wrong, but because I was in darkness, you could not tell me it was wrong, because the mindset that you would develop is that you got to do what you got to do. No, not necessarily. What happens is when the enemy has blinded us or blinded us from the real truth, and when we don't know Christ and don't know Jesus, we live a lifestyle. What we've been taught was right was really wrong, and what was wrong, we couldn't understand it because we took wrong to be right. So only until I met Jesus was I able to change the way I think. And not just because I ran the church, but because I read the Word and I knew the life I was living. And just as you said, you just don't want to go back there. I don't want to be that guy anymore. I don't want to be the player. I don't want to be the one hanging out. I don't want to be the one in trouble. I don't want to be on the one on the run. I want to be the one telling somebody about Jesus that you ain't got to stay stacked up. I want to tell somebody about Jesus that if you're depressed, God will bring you out. I want to be the one to tell somebody about Jesus if you're an alcoholic, God can bring you out. I want to be the one to tell somebody about Jesus if you're on your last dime, last money, last check, last whatever, that God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and His glory. But you got to trust Him. You got to read His Word. You got to be in a relationship with Him. It just don't come by magic. It just don't come by chance. You got to get on your knees. I call it kneology. When we get down and pray to God and ask God to move into my heart, God, because I want to change the way I think. And there's a lot of men, a lot of men. I've been guilty of it. I didn't know how to be a father. I didn't know how to be a father to my daughters, to my children. I didn't know how to be a husband. You know, if they ain't never been father, how can you father if you ain't been father? It's only until I met Jesus and I wanted change in my heart, in my mind, was I able to actively do something, pick up the Word of God, read the Word of God, and apply and make it applicable to my everyday life because I wanted change. It's nothing like knowing God. For every brother, every man, every sister, listen, it's no better life. God had the money, had the cars, had the women, had the clothes. There is no better life in Jesus. Oh, man, I'm excited. Woo! Anyway, man, there ain't no better life. Listen, been baller, shot caller, all that. It ain't no better life. I've been on yachts in Miami. Listen, it's nothing like going into the jails, in the prison, telling men that were just like me. We think a certain way, act a certain way, got a certain swag, got a certain cool, debonair style to ourselves, but it's nothing like telling those young men, hey, I did what you did, ball like you ball, fail like you fail, roll like you roll. But, bro, let me tell you about a dude that'll ride or die. Let me tell you about the man that'll go into a burning house and bring you out. Let me tell you about a man you can walk away from him, and he'll stay right there and wait till you come back. He ain't driving off. He ain't leaving you. You ain't got to catch a ride. Man, listen, Jesus is the only way. And we got to get him in, not just get him into our head, but get him into our heart, get him into our life, get him into our everyday decision-making. Jesus is the way. We just got to change our mind. See, I can't get you out. I'm sorry. I ain't never seen nobody get locked up and say, Lord, would you help? Lord, T.I., would you get me out? Every time you get in a situation, just think about it. The first thing we say is, Lord, have mercy. I wonder what they're going to do. Lord, I wonder what's going to happen. Lord this, Lord that. See, our soul knows it was created by our Creator, our Father, and it cries back out to the one that created. The first thing we say, and Mama never taught us to say, son, soon as you get in trouble, say, Lord, have mercy. It'll give you some peace. Nobody ever gave us a script to say that, but somehow, even the ones that don't even fellowship with God, the first thing they'll say, Tammy, Lord, have mercy. I wonder what's going to happen. People of God, it's nothing like knowing God and allowing that word to get in you. It's just that we just have to change the way we think. What are you thinking today? Man, I'm excited.
And I want to make sure that Miss Earlene, I'm pulling you back in because I don't know if I took you out. So did you have more to say? I have Miss Earlene back in.
Tammy, I just wanted to say that when I was mentioning to, is it Steve, about committing your works, and I wasn't really talking about your works being, you know, being so concerned and concentrating on what your works are. When I say commit your works to the Lord, I was referring to a surrendering, and I think he mentioned that. There has to be a brokenness that takes place. Before
right.
sometimes the renewal of that mind takes place. And that was my point. You know, if there's not a vulnerability, if there's not a where you become, that brokenness takes place, because when that happens, you become that open vessel. That open vessel says, you know, whatever you have me to do, I will do. The mind begins to be renewed as a result of that. That's what I meant by committing works. It means to actually be concerned. That brokenness has to happen.
Right. You're absolutely right. I wasn't sure, but amen. You're absolutely right, though. You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
I really like the word, that brokenness. I like the way you formed it, the brokenness, because you think about it, people, anything that's broken, if it's an item or an object, of course, it's broken. You have to glue it back together. If you break a limb, you got to go to the doctor. Think about, you know, when that brokenness happens, and I think sometimes this is what happens to people who, you know, I hear people often say, you know, they join church, and they instantly think everything is just going to be lovely, grand, no problems. And we as a people of God, we don't do enough in taking those people who walk up and say, hey, I want to know Jesus. I want this relationship. How do I get it? And if we don't, it's like a newborn baby. You cannot, we have to take care of newborn babies. We have to feed them. We have to clean them. We have to wash them. Newborn Christians, people who are seeking God and seeking that transformation, we need to be right there with them. We need to be right there and coaching them. So when things happen, when something, when Satan comes with the spiritual warfare that he comes with, that we say, hey, to be expected, because you're on the right road. You're on that journey. This is to be expected.
Yes.
Let's keep it moving. Let's get this word out, apply it to this, and let's keep it moving. Let's go this extra mile. Don't stop here. So often what I see is people just stop. When the brokenness heals, when that limb heals, when you put that vase back together, you just sit it right back where it was. That's where it got broken in the first place. You just sit right back on the edge of that counter. Just think about that. We don't want to go through the process of the brokenness. We don't.
Right,
or even
right.
If we do, we let it hinder us when it hurt a little bit too bad. Well, take a pain pill. The pain pill is the word of God. You know, take your medication. Because if you go to the doctor for a broken limb, that's what they're going to give you. They're going to put it in a cast. Put that problem, that situation in the word. God said,
I remember.
My
word. Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
No, I was done. Go ahead.
But I was thinking it just and that was that brokenness, and what Sister Herlene was mentioning. I remember when I was at the peak of my mess and the peak of my sin, and, you know, I got to have name brand polo this and polo that. I'm God gifts to women, and I'm just thinking I'm all this. And I found myself, listen, never been to church, I found myself, I'm losing everything from cars, houses, motorcycles, everything, I'm losing it. And I found myself, true story, I found myself homeless on the floor with my two daughters, broken. Now, it's a place I could have went, but I just my games was so tight in my mind. But on that floor, there's two things that put me between a place and a hard rock and the ground itself. It was. I knew I didn't want my daughters to run into a guy that was just like me. I knew I didn't want to raise my daughters with the lifestyle I was living. I cried out and I said, God, if you're real, this has been over 15 years ago, if you're real, make me into the man you want me to be, and I never turn from the gospel. At that moment, I did not know I was repenting. All I knew was I was broken in two pieces. And I said, I just believe God sometimes has to break us just to make us. You have to, and she asked, you have to come broken. You have to come in a low place. You can't come with, you got it all together with your degrees and what you bringing and what you got and who you are. Because on the floor, on the threshing floor, when you're travailing, it don't matter what you got. Because if you ain't coming to God real, God ain't hearing it. It said, the Bible said he resists the pride. He resists the pride. So I just wanted to just add to that brokenness, and it's so true. It is so true. And even once we get to in God, we have to be ever so mindful to stay humble in the things of God, because it's easy to become high minded. It's easy to forget where you come from.
That's right.
And I believe God that the humbleness and the humility that Jesus showed, if we can just mimic that, allow that brokenness into our lives, we'll see a changed world on a larger scale. We just got to change the way we think. We just got to change the way we think.
Right. So thank you, Ms. Erlene. Thank you for, I'm glad it worked out that way so that you were able to come back and share another word, brokenness, that brought so much more to this topic, as you always do. So thank you so much. Anything else from your end, Ms. Erlene?
Oh,
I took her out. Okay. She's still there listening, though. Okay, well, thank you for calling in again. Anything in the chat line, Steve? Because if not, we're going
There's a gentleman. Huh?
Any comments or questions out there in the chat line?
Well, there's a lot of comments. There's a brother, like a brother Anthony. He's been with us the whole time, and there's a Seven Heavenly on the chat line.
Okay. Any comments or questions from any of those that we need to get out before we end?
No questions. Just
okay.
Amen. A lot of he's saying Anthony said it's a daily walk. He said there has to be a desire to know God. He shared a lot of scriptures and just a real in tune brother.
Okay, great, wonderful. Okay, well, the lines are open. Hopefully, if nothing else, hopefully you guys will really start to see the value. And when I say, are you wasting your mind, that is what I mean. I hope that when things come upon you, when things come in your mind, that you really start to evaluate and align them up with the knowledge. Seek the kingdom, seek the knowledge, seek righteousness, seek to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, all of those things. Just pray for a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. Pray that you're so hungry for it till it becomes more important than eating. Seriously. If you do that, then you will apply, you will make it part of your daily life. And things will get better.
Yes.
Your limbs, your broken limbs will heal. You will be able to put that, you know, it's like a purification. God, the Word talks about being purified. You know, so this is something that we have to start thinking about. Well, we have another caller, so And Steve, I don't want to hold you, but I'd love for you to stay on if you can. But I usually just keep going until we can stop, until I run out of time, as long as I have callers calling in.
I'm with you. You know, I'm with you. We good.
Okay. We have a caller from 901 area code with the last four of 8714. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. It's quite a bit I want to say, but I'm not going to say a whole lot, and some of it I don't think is really it's good stuff, but I don't want to just ramble on. I'm with you on the renewing the mind. I mean, it's very important to constantly not allow fear to overtake you and to not step out into something that's unknown. And I noticed that a lot of people, like even me for an example, the question was brought out about, you know, the process of your mind, the way even a person has been thinking for the past 5 years. I know I can't afford that. And even right now, I'm going through a period of self-examining myself and possibly maybe being broken too. But it's like I'm allowing this to, it's a challenge, but I'm allowing this to allow me to be a stronger person and to really allow me to think more about other people as well and to be more mindful of other people. But I notice how I think one of the reasons why people choose not to have their mind renewed is because of fear. Fear that they're gonna have to change something that they're uncomfortable with and I'm giving you an example. This happened 11 years ago, and I don't know if this was based on fear or if this is what all this person had knew, but I remember it was this Bible study I was going to at this job I had back then, and we would meet every Thursday at around lunchtime, and we would have like a Bible study, and I wanted to talk about the subject on hell, hellfire, and I found out through my Bible study that just me doing some of my own research that if you look at the King James Version's Bible, they'll have the word hell, you know, throughout the whole Old and New Testament, and a lot of people will assume that hell is this burning fiery place. But I come to find out through looking at the original language that of the Old and New Testament that these words, that there's different meanings to the word hell. There is a term for hellfire, and then there's another word for just in a grave. You're just in a grave. just death. And the other one, I think, was meaning being sleep, but being sleep meaning death. But to make a long story short, as I was explaining it to these people, I did some of my own research. I mean, that's what I do. Some of them got offended. They really got offended at me for saying that you and this may be contradictory to what other people, what other Christians believe based upon their denomination, but there's some people who believe that, well, according to the Bible, and I might get in trouble here, that there is no burning place right now until after Jesus' second coming and all this type of thing. But I was really showing them the different different meanings of the word hell. And one of the guys that's old enough to be my father at the time, still is, he was like, why are you saying these things? You know, my grandmother, she's looking down on heaven to me and all that. And I wasn't referring to any of that, but for some reason he got upset that I had dug even deeper to find out the meanings to the word hell. And I noticed that a lot of people that's in these Christian denominations, and first of all, I'm really against denominations because it's really divided people who wants to believe for believers, and it's really caused such a huge divide. And the point that I'm making on that is, when is it that people are going to really dig deep and to really question what they really believe in when it comes to the subjects of God? Because I'm noticing, like, I remember telling Miss Tammy about this a while back, but I had looked in a phone book like six, seven years ago, and in Memphis, those yellow pages, I had counted 88 different Christian denominations. And I was a bit shocked, and I'm like, why is it that we have all these churches on the corners, which was mentioned earlier, but yet the city seems to remain the same or get worse as it is? And I think part of that has to do with people are not really questioning what they really believe in, and is it really edifying, you know, is it really edifying God? I mean, we call ourselves the body of Christ. We all call ourselves, well, we believe in the same things. No, we do not. And it really has become like a subtle so-called religious war, in my opinion. And a lot of people, they're not questioning, and they're not even reading the Bible, or they're not even studying it or researching it.
Well, let me jump in with you just a moment. A couple of things that you said pretty much is on point, which you go back into the word hell, goes back into a Hebrew word, which translates into the shallow, goes and also translates back into the grave. So you're on point in that aspect. Yeah, there's certain references in the Bible where it speaks to about being asleep. And so those that was offended, those that have not studied, the Bible also teaches workmen need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, with knowing the knowledge of what you're speaking of. One, and another thing you spoke of, denomination. If you read and study the Bible, you know, denomination is not from God. When Jesus died, the veil of the temple was split from top to bottom. He broke the denomination barrier then. You had Jews, barbarian, Greeks, centurions, all types of different denominations, and they worship in different ways within that temple. So when he died, the Bible says again that it was ripped from top to bottom. So it broke up the barriers of worship. Now, what man has done and what religion has done, so the word religion, religions go back to another Hebrew word, which means religio, which goes into return back to bondage. What has happened is we've got a whole slew of religious folks going to church to feel good in a conscious state of mind about what they're doing as work and religion, and there's no relationship. Because no day, whenever you're getting knowledge about growing as a Christian, knowledge about being a stronger Christian, should you get offended? The basic 101 about the Bible is there is no denomination. But what confuses people, I believe, is that anytime you see a cross on a building and they say pastor, they believe that's Jesus, opposed to what do the words say? If you look at all of Jesus' healing was done outside of the temple. And I just believe God is sending out John the Baptist. He's sending out some Pauls, some Peters to infiltrate within these religious sectors. And you may not even be a part of the church in more than 30 days. But to go in, like he sent Ezekiel chapter 3, he sent Ezekiel in a place for 10 days, told Ezekiel, be quiet, don't say nothing, learn their ways. And when you stand after the 10th day, speak to the people. And once he spoke, the Bible said, there no prophet was amongst them. And then Ezekiel had to go. So I believe that the knowledge that you have and the understanding that you have, just there in Memphis, God has utilized that in that capacity. Because a lot of what you said is true. Studied, stuff I know. Stuff I know is scripture and it's sound. But a lot of religious folk who've been saved 20, 30, 40 years don't have that understanding. They don't mean they're bad people. It just means folks like yourself, myself, we got to get a little bit more about God's business to where those that are lost and don't have that knowledge can get that knowledge. Because they got to change. It all goes into the way they think. It's how they think. A lot of them don't read the Bible. You're absolutely right. But the Bible also says, those who seek and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And I'm going to push the envelope here and go a little further. I believe those that don't seek, those that ain't hungry, those that ain't reading, those that ain't really trying to find out all they can about God and do all they can with God, they have not had an authentic encounter with Jesus Christ. Every person in the Bible that had an encounter with Jesus, let's start with the woman at the well. We still don't know her name. But let me tell you the one thing we know she did. She met Jesus. That's all we know. A woman at the well slept around with a lot of folks. Jesus spoke to her. She turned her life around. She went back to her city. She didn't get voted on whether she had a minister license, a degree, or a diploma. She met Jesus, went back to her city. The Bible says she brought the whole city to this man. And guess what? We still don't know her name. But we know what she did. And we know why she did it. She had an encounter. So a lot of people who ain't really fired up or hungry seeking, I just don't believe they ain't had an encounter. They ain't bad people, but they ain't met him. You can't meet him and sit down. Let me start. I get to preach it. but you said some good stuff, bro. But it's the way they think. To go back to the mindset of the people. Tammy, you there?
I'm here.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. But he was absolutely right on a lot of stuff he was saying.
Right, and we're not, that people are not questioning, because as you said, they're not reading the word. Many people, just because, you know, we think because we go to church, and I can say that was me. I would dress up, go to church, wouldn't pick up a Bible no more until I got back to church. Didn't have any desire to pick it up and try to understand. And that's why I said pray and ask God to give you a hunger and a thirst. Remember,
yes.
You have to
yes.
set your reminder. Start small. I was listening to someone today who said that they're doing the Proverbs Challenge. And that's second, third person that I've heard this month say that they're doing that. And they neither have any relation to each other. But, you know, just if people would just start there, you know, as you are, Cody, with you, you're searching for the truth. You want to know, and that's why you're gaining so much, and you're going to continue to change and be transformed. You're going to continue that because you are seeking in a way that, wow, many young people are not. I know you're not just super, super young, but you are seeking, and those who seek, what he says. So you are
those who seek and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Seeking you shall find. That's good stuff though. There's
right.
another so when they pop up in the chat room, they're here. They just there's a Michael Mims.
Right. If they give some comments, you could just read them off. Yeah. So, anything else, caller? We still have our call on with us. Anything else, Cody?
Oh yeah, and just one quick thing. Like even this is gonna probably upset some people too that's in a church, but also like even the Sabbath, like the fourth commandment and the ten commandments, like I notice a lot of Christians don't observe the Sabbath, which is on a, which is really actually on a Saturday. But see what happened in history, if you look at historical history on Christianity, that Constantine, he was the one who had changed like the Sabbath worship or the Saturday worship to Sunday. And from what I've read in the past, it was dealing something with people there that was like so-called pagans, which I really know what pagan means, but I'm just going to use it for pagans. Just, pagan really means a country person, you know, and really in during the Roman times, the pagans, if they didn't go along with Christianity or with their thing, then it was called a villain. Why? Because they lived in villas or villages. I mean, that's the etymology behind that word, pagan, but I'm just going to use it how other people use it. But if you wanted to, if I have it read, but I encourage people to research this, there was like so-called sun worshipers, and he wanted to appease these so-called sun worshipers. So he decided, he made a decree that people worship God on a Sunday instead of the Sabbath Saturday. But you tell a Christian or a majority of them, they're going to be offended by that, or they're just fearful that if they change to this, especially if a pastor, their congregation is going to leave them. And of course, the congregation, I can tell they're not doing their research either, or they know the truth, but they're scared to even conform to that. But if they call themselves loving God and worshiping God, why would that be such a big problem? But I mean, again, people have to really do their research in order to, and I mean, like the Bible says, they have to do their research in order to really find out, but a lot of people aren't doing that.
But what happened, Cody, again, and I appreciate your knowledge, man. I just can't believe it. But listen, you're absolutely right, because actually S-U-N goes into a Greek god, and it comes in sun worship. The Constantine the Pope, the sixth one, he decreed that they will worship the sun god, not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N, on Sunday. Now, there's a lot of discrepancy on the Sabbath day for it being Saturday. So what Paul came along and did in that particular time, dispensation of time, what he did say, well, listen, we're going to just do God every day. So he said, don't let some man judge you by a Sabbath day, moon day, or festival day. So to clear that up with Paul in that particular time, with those people, he said, just take every day as a worship of God. But you're absolutely right that Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-Y, is a Greek god, which was established by the Roman, the sixth Roman, Constantine. Now, also, he established December 25th as a Christian. We ain't gonna get too deep in this, a whole another segment, but just so that those that are listening to you, you on point, because this, you have to research, you have to study. Even if you study the picture in which I said it before about Jesus, that the Jesus that was painted by Michelangelo in the 16th century was Michelangelo Latin lover. A lot of people want to hear that, but that's the truth. If you study Ezekiel 8 and 14 by Tammuz, the god of the, we can get deeper to all the gods that the Roman church is that they established back in that day. But that type of knowledge that you have, that God has allowed to open your eyes up to that, you have to channel that in such a way that you want to get to the people, but it's the wisdom how you got to go in and get in the door, and then you got to give it to them. You can't come in with it because they ain't going to let you in the door. It is like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're going to shut you down. They're going to crucify you, put you on a stake, hang you, whatever. But the knowledge you're talking about is on point, because I studied it and I researched it. And a lot of things we do today, even when you went into the King James Bible, the King James Bible is not the most accurate Bible. Probably lost a bunch of people right there. But it ain't the most accurate Bible. King James was a gay tyrant. He was gay. The folks needed to write the Bible. He said, okay, the only way you're going to do it, you put my name on it, then you can let it be printed. If you research it and study it, Hebrew, Greek, Latin, a lot of the translation in King James cannot be found in the original language. So the knowledge you have, brother, as young as you are, all I'm going to tell you is this. That knowledge there is going to, listen, a lot of people going to reject you. They ain't going to hear it, but you're on point. I'm going to tell you, you're on point, and the knowledge you gather is sound doctrine. It's sound doctrine, and it's a lot of folks know it, but nobody won't come together to do anything about it. That's the major thing. And we don't really want to confuse everybody listening, because a lot of folks, they're scratching their head because they ain't never heard that. But it's true stuff. It's real stuff. It's in that same Bible. If they go back and study the origin of Christmas, that'll give you a whole bunch of stuff. The origin of Easter. But anyway, I don't want to take it all the way back there, but you're on point, brother. God bless you, man.
This is Tammy. And I'm just going to be real quick with my response here. But what to relate this to tonight's topic is saying you have to learn to think for yourself. As I started to show out saying, society is telling you, you are allowing society to tell you when to celebrate Mother's Day, when to celebrate Father's Day, when to celebrate what is Christmas. The last year I celebrated Christmas was when I found myself out in a storm trying to get gifts. For what? For what? I totally lost the whole meaning I felt at that time around Christmas. I never, ever, after that, gifts, they're not a part of my world. Because we just allow, and I think about children who this past Mother's Day, who have lost parents. You know, it's just no one should have to tell us when to celebrate a mama or a daddy or to celebrate Christmas, the meaning of it. No one should have Easter. We have to really start. What I hear you guys saying is start to search and understand, because until you have a true understanding, you're going to be just like the Bible says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. There is so much power that comes with knowing Jesus and knowing the word and being renewed and transformed. There is so much power, and we are so living beneath that power. We have not touched the surface of the power that it brings.
People, and I can't speak for nobody else, but I can only say when I said what I said to God on that floor, all I wanted was the truth. Because if you don't live the life for so long, listen, don't give me nothing fake. I don't want no fake gold. I don't want no fake hair. If it ain't real, I don't want it. So when I know and I say what I say, all I want to know, God, if you're real, reveal your word to me. And that sent me on a quest to know when I stand up and preach Jesus, I'll take a bullet for him. I'll die because I know what I know. With that word, it's true. I don't know about my homeboy partners, all that other stuff, but let me tell you what is real. And I know with that thirst and that hunger, God, just give me what's real, and I'll tell the world. And that's what happened for me, because I just want to know what God's word is. How can I change my life to be a better person? Not be no player, not be this, not be that, but to be a better person and then make a difference in a dying world. You have to change the way you think. Just like, it's so much stuff that's out there available, but we have to want it. We have to desire it. You gotta want change. It's just like when you want a job, you gotta want a job. You gotta want to get up. You gotta want it. I don't know about anybody else, but the thing we used to do, if you was a drinker or you a smoker, listen, if the liquor store closed, listen, we finna find some bootleg that got some liquor. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm using that analogy or that parable to say this. Whenever we wanted something in the world, we went and got it, no matter what. So in this word of God, why would we sit down? Why would I chase after God like a deer panting after water? Why wouldn't we want God just as much as we want the things of the world? And this word that will change our life, change our heart, change our mind, change our family, change our community, and change our neighborhood. Why wouldn't we want this word? We have to change the way we think. No, it's no Santa Claus. I'm sorry. It's no Santa Claus. No. We have to change the way we think. We shouldn't be putting up no Christmas tree in the house. Why? The Bible teaches us not to. But it won't hurt us. They just for the kids. The devil is a liar. Jeremiah chapter 5 and Jeremiah chapter 10, it speaks about don't learn the ways of the pagans, for the people custom are in vain. We have to change the way we think. And Malachi 3 and 10, whenever the preachers get up and preach it, it's not about taking money from the people. God told Malachi to tell the people they live in wrong. They go and tell the prophets, let them know. And now they turn it, they flip it, and it's almost, it's a game. So, people of God, you don't hear anything else. I say, listen, we have to change the way we think. Paul said, don't focus on the things that are seen. It's the unseen thing. If you focus on the stuff you see, it's just like when Malcolm X said in the movie that we've been bamboozled, we've been hoodwinked. The wool been pulled over our eyes, the coat in front of our face. We can't look at what's seen no more because it looked like God. That don't mean it's God. The Bible tells us this, having a form of godliness but denies the power. But what does that mean? You got on a suit, you got on a tie, you got a big bottle in your hand, but your breath smells like liquor. You just spoke in tongues, but you don't speak in Walmart. We got to change how we think. And are we wasting our mind on nothing? Worry about Atlanta Housewives. Worry about the next idol. What are we thinking about? What's on our mind? A man, a woman, a car, a job, a title, or is it Jesus? What if Jesus cracked the sky right now? Are you ready? Is your mind right? If Jesus was to come, like the Bible says, no man knows the hour. So 5 minutes from now, Jesus could come, like, are we ready? Are we on point? Is our ducks in a row? I'm going to see you be is our ducks in a row? Are we straight? What's on your mind tonight? Is it kingdom? Is it kingdom? Is it God? Is it his will? Is it your plan, what God has for your life? What's on your mind tonight? Inventing more evil? Doing more wrong? What's on your mind tonight? Go and apologize to your wife. Go and apologize to your husband. Somebody needs to get something right with somebody that's listening tonight. What's on your mind? Don't hold that grudge against them. Don't let the sun go down and you're angry with that person. Make all what you can while it's still yet early. Change your mind, people of God, and let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 3. God bless you, Tim. I'm just fired up right now. I'm fired up, man. Jesus.
That's okay. We're going to go ahead and just prepare to start closing out. Cody, did you have anything else you wanted to share?
Yeah, just real quickly, I just wanted to make this comment that we do have to renew our minds, and one of the ways to do that, I don't know if there's any other way, but what I'm doing is I'm questioning everything that I know or that I think I know. Even when it comes to subjects like religion and God, because I'm seeing people, and again, I'm getting in trouble for this again, and people are not going to like me for this, but a lot of people have been going by or have been believing in things what other people have taught them about God or what they've read about God. And that's and me just saying that, I know people are upset about that, but, I mean, really, at the end, what he just said about becoming a better person and being a better good for the whole world and for everybody, but it all starts with yourself. So that was just a comment that I want to make, is just question everything. I mean, and don't be afraid. Don't let fear allow you and paralyze you from just asking questions. It's okay to ask questions. We have brains. I mean, it's a purpose why we have a brain. We're supposed to think. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you as always, and just thank you for supporting Butterfly Evolution consistently and every Monday, so I really appreciate it, and we're going to thank you so much, okay?
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Steve, anything else? I want to share Facebook posting and just kind of end with that. I think it's a really good place to end. So before, do you have anything that you want to get out, anything in the chat as well?
Like this, I mean, just offer the people salvation to Christ. Just those, anybody that want to, you know, rededicate their life to Christ, anybody want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, give us a call, join the chat line, or we can say it over the phone. However, just if you don't know God tonight, it's the opportunity to know God. If you know God and you backslid and you want to pray a rededication of your life back to God, I mean, we're here for that. We're here for that. Because maybe tonight something you heard changed your mind, changed your thoughts. And, hey, you know what? I may not be where I thought I was. So, just that for me. Just
okay.
Offer people Christ.
Okay. Amen. There's a comment in the Facebook chat of the event, basically. And it basically is talking about people in the church basically keep sinners from coming in. And that's why a lot of people won't go to church. They don't read their Bible, won't commit themselves to God, nor try to know Him. I take that, and I ask, could I share this? Because this is so. We need to start looking at it this way. People are, we who call ourselves Christian, religious, God is our Savior, all that. People are looking at us. Even our young people. I've heard young people say, "We look at y'all, and y'all don't look like y'all doing so well with this religious thing. Y'all look like y'all as hurt and broken down and fearful as anybody else, as the person next door who don't ever go to church, don't ever pick up a Bible, don't know Jesus from anybody." So I wanted to end with that because it goes back to denying that power. No longer, don't play with it. I mean, either you're going to have it or you're not. I know a pastor, and I hope I can share this, but she used to say, if you're gonna go to hell, bust the doors open. Don't half do it. So if you're gonna go, make it count. I mean, I used to hear her say that over and over and over again. Don't play with it. If you're gonna don't be double minded. And that's really what that is, and that's why so many of us don't have that power. We can't go in the hospital and pray with faith and expect that person that we are praying for to be healed. We might go in there and pray for them, but we already know that we don't have that power. We already know it.
At all.
That's why we don't expect.
Right.
We leave there wondering when the funeral is going to be. We probably praying the prayer when it's the funeral is going to be. So that's something to think about and a good place to end. She said the people in the church keep the sinners out. What did Jesus do? Jesus went out. That's what he said. I come for those same people. If you're not sick, you don't go to the doctor. Shouldn't. So that's what I want to close with. Steve, I'll turn it over to you, and you can actually close it out. Let me check quick. I don't have anybody else in. So you can end with some words, and we'll go ahead and close it out. If no one has anything, and if you do, here's the time to go ahead and select the number one for those of you who are listening by phone. Otherwise, we're going to get ready to close it out. And Steve, I'll pass it over to you.
Amen, 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 amen. I just want to say again, I just hope everybody that's listening to this particular broadcast. Tim, if you will, could you give out the number one again, please?
818-691-7406. Again, 818-691-7406 is the call-in number for this show.
I just want everybody that had an opportunity to hear the truth, embrace it in such a way. If now in your life you're confused about whether you're saved or not saved, or do you know God or don't know God, and that you just want to make a difference in the world in which you live. And I believe that difference comes with accepting Jesus Christ, or even just rededicating your life back to Jesus Christ. So Jesus is real. God is real. I'm just going to say a prayer here. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you again for every person that's listening, every person that's recommitting their lives, every person that's accepting you for the first time tonight, God, that we believe that you had a son named Jesus Christ, that he came down to earth, walked amongst men, O Father God, and died on the cross for all of our sins. And on the third day, God, he got up with all power in his hand, God. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, Father God. Those of you that believe that, it's just as simple as that, that you believe, you receive, and you accept the things of God. And Father God, we thank you for those that rededicated their lives back to you on tonight, Father God. And Father God, I pray that somebody's life was changed, somebody's life was altered into the right direction, oh Father God, for your kingdom, for your purpose, and for your will, oh Father God. We thank you, we bless you, we truly honor you, Father God. It's in Jesus Christ's matchless and powerful name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for that. Would you like to give out any information about the King in You? We have plenty of time, so we have men listening. It might be a good time to go ahead and get them set up.
Amen. Okay, great, awesome. Yes, and tomorrow, one of my passions is just reaching out to brothers. That's just one of my passions, a multitude of men, because I know the reckless lifestyle that I lived for many years and thinking it was okay. But we're going to be doing the King in You on tomorrow. There's going to be a conference line where we'll be...
I have the number. Go ahead and give the time, and then I'll give the number out.
Okay, the time is going to be 7 o'clock tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, call the line. Your name is not important. What you do, where you work is not important. But we really want to tap into the King in you. And that just come out of the Bible with David was anointed king, and how his daddy Jesse overlooked him and chose all of his sons and never chose David. But God saw David in the field away from the world, and God see us. And there's a king in us that God wants us to tap into, brother. So if you will, join me tomorrow night. It's going to be a powerful moment where us as men, I think that's right, us as men, can really have a forum to have some real dialogue and some real Q&A about why we struggling, why we ain't on point, why we ain't on our post, and why we keep falling back to take the path of least resistance. So give us a call tomorrow. Join me tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The King
Okay, and that is 7 Eastern Standard Time, correct? Because we have, some people in Central, but 7 Eastern, and then make sure you, those of you who are listening, make sure that you take an account to your time zone, but that's 7 Eastern Standard Time set. So if you're Central, that's 6 for you. And the call-in number is 424-203-8400, and then you enter the code 105-9786. Pound, and I'm going to give that again. I'm going to give you a minute. Okay, it's 424-203-8400 with the code 105-9786 pound. And women, keep in mind, this is for the men. Let's pray for them. Keep them lifted up. We have to allow our men to heal, because There is order. There is a design order for structure and the way that this thing's supposed to work, the family, the head, and all that. And we need to learn how to be submissive and learn how to love men more, respect men more, make the trash worker feel like the president. Seriously. So allow them.
Hey,
we gave them number. We put the number out, but let's be mindful. Let's be dutiful and not sneak a call in, let them do their thing. This reminds me of the I believe it was the Potter's House or T.D. Jakes used to do that early morning session. I think it came on like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and I remember just sitting there getting so much information from brothers sitting there connecting with God through their experience and sharing their hurts and their pains. So this is a way, because men go through things. They hurt. They don't talk like us. They don't share things with each other as we do. Society has told them differently. Society has just shunned all of that. So allow the men to do their thing and do what they're going to do. Hopefully pretty soon the queen and you will be coming. I have a good friend listening in tonight. I'm going to talk with her about getting involved in on that. I'm sure she knows who she is because I've already been kind of texting her back and forth. So that's a hint for you. But, you know, women, again, let's just allow them to do what they do and respect them and allow the men to be able to share comfortably what is going on with them because, again, they need healing in order for this divine order that is supposed to take place and be in process here, meaning the head and so forth, in order for them to lead. They gotta go through, get through some of these things that the challenges that they're dealing with, and being able to connect with other men and share, and realize that they are not their issues, their problems are not isolated issues. That other brothers are going through them, have gone through them, and have conquered their fears, their disappointments, their pains. They've endured life, and they're doing this life well. So allow them to do that. Again, tomorrow 7 Eastern Standard Time. King and You, the number 424-203-8400, the code 105-9786. Please tune in tomorrow and let Steve know that you're out there. He'll give you all the instructions once you're on, but please do tune in tomorrow. Anything else you want to add to that, Steve?
Hey, man, this is probably the email, and I mean, it's been an awesome show.
Okay. The email for which one now?
The King and You.
Okay. Do you want them to email you? Go ahead. You can go ahead and give that out. Then the one, yeah, go ahead and give that out.
Okay. The King and You is K-I-N.
Okay.
Huh?
You were talking about the Gmail, right?
Yeah, the Gmail.
Okay.
Yeah.
KINGENYOU at gmail.com. So it's KING King NENYOU at gmail.com. So if you have some questions that you want to submit to Steve, do that. And I would think, women, if you have something you want to share, go ahead and email Steve if you want, you know, as they progress in this process with this King and You program or conference call, you know, Steve can share. He can kind of share with the men what the women are wanting to know and what we need as well. So I think all that is part of the process, but please be mindful and just allow the men to do what they do on this night. Okay? So that's all that I have. I'm going to check here to make sure that we're not leaving anybody out. Let me check here. I do have a message, so let's see. Okay, we're good there. Just thank you on that. Okay. All right. Well, we're good to go. Steve, anything before I turn on the ending music?
No, ma'am. I'm good. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Everybody be blessed, and we'll see you back here next Monday, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And don't forget to tune in, men, so that you can find out about the King in You tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Thank you. Everybody have a good night.